afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 LPFM, Richmond Independent Radio. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and I'm your host for Inspire Indeed, where we are learning about community issues and the nonprofits and community leaders that are working to address them. And hopefully you'll learn something new and be inspired to think about how you might make a difference with your deeds. Today we get to hear from someone who is, by her nature, an inspiring individual, though she would never accept that kind of acknowledgement. Vanessa Diamond is director of Hands on Greater Richmond, which is a program of the Partnership for Nonprofit Excellence. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Now, I have to share that I know personally that you're inspiring because we have worked on a very special project together.
We have.
Yeah, and that's Hands on Greater Richmond. I was with Vanessa and some other friends in the early days when it was just a few people on a listserv, really. And now, and it was called Activate Richmond back then. But now it's a full-fledged operation, right?
It is an operation and then some days. We've grown. It's been 5 years or 5 or 6 years that we've been working to try to engage individuals and groups and volunteer activities. So that was really the genesis of it, was how do we help connect people to volunteer opportunities, to the nonprofits and schools that kind of need their time and talent. And like you said, we started with a tiny little Yahoo group and 10 friends and a couple of projects. And this past year, we were looking at our data and we were kind of amazed. Over the last 5 years in total, we've had some sort of contact with 14,000 people. So it doesn't mean that all of them volunteered or came out on, weekly projects, but that they had some contact with us over
14,000.
The last 5 years. So yeah, 14,000.
That's a lot of people.
At some point are now in our database.
Yeah. That
they have interest in doing good deeds. And I think that says a lot.
You've been working in this field of civic engagement and volunteerism for a long time, right? Yeah. I mean, before Activate Richmond, before Hands-On, what were you doing back then?
So when I left college, I actually moved out west and lived in Portland, Oregon for 6 or 7 years and was really involved with AmeriCorps National Service Program. So I was an AmeriCorps member and then helped manage a program called Northwest Service Academy, which is really an academy. It was really focused on helping train individuals to get the skills and resources they needed to develop the kind of programs they wanted to see out in the community. So I think I was ripe to get something done. When I moved to Richmond, I spent 2 years at VCU, and I worked in the service learning department. So really similar work. It was, how do we connect students and faculty who want to have real-world learning to service opportunities in the community, and how do we make those service opportunities make what they're learning in the classroom kind of a 3D experience? So before we launched Activate, now Hands-On, I was kind of in the civic engagement world and really connected, whether it was, university and institutional civic engagement and volunteerism or just the individual work I did myself.
Now, what do you mean when you say civic engagement? I think it's a term that's tossed around in the field, but some of our listeners may hear civic engagement and think of something different than what you mean.
We actually had an interesting meeting last week with businesses and corporations and the local universities and some funders in the area to really talk about what is civic engagement. And we all have different definitions. And I think maybe that's what civic engagement, is that it's about how people choose to engage and choose to connect and participate in the community. For me, particularly, like, my work within Hands-On is about civic engagement through action, through volunteerism, through working with nonprofits and schools. But I think the larger civic engagement is how do people opt in? How do you take responsibility and choose to participate? I always think about it as, the public commons, how do we communicate and how do we solve the issues that touch all of us in some way? And what's your individual role around that? And I think civic engagement isn't just about individuals. It's about how corporations and businesses and institutions also choose to participate and what choices that they make.
So it sounds like you're talking about how people can think about where they want to see improvements, where they might want to change. And
I think everything that we are doing is really focused on how do we help reframe, where the sense of responsibility is. And our tagline and our theme right now is people at the center of change. And if really people just start to vision themselves as a part of the solution. And our work with the nonprofits and the schools and within our own programming is how do we continue to open the doors and allow people to kind of be the center of change, and that the solution isn't necessarily the nonprofits. It's not necessarily government. It's really going to be a joint effort, and that individuals are at the center of all of those organizations. And, you know, you might work at a corporation and you participate in government, or you volunteer at a nonprofit, and that individual is really what kind of holds all of those sectors together. Mm-hmm. And we're really interested in how do we help nonprofits and schools and businesses, you know, understand that that individual has immense power to create the change that they want to see, and also help people realize that. And if we can equip them and give them the access to it, we can help them act and create the deed that is going to help them move towards the vision that they want to see in the world.
So it's not just you as an individual going out, but whatever your point in the community is, like that collective action.
Yeah, what do you leverage with you sometimes? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of fascinated, even outside of hands-on, of, you know, how do you leverage beyond what your task is? You know, so you could be in a business that makes widgets, but how do you choose to make those widgets, and where do they go, and how do you hire the people within your organization? How does that collective choices that people make influence the community we live in and the culture of the community?
Do you think that Richmond has a culture that is very rich in civic engagement?
It does. When I first moved here, I had a hard time adjusting, you know, living in a town like Portland, Oregon, and moving to Richmond. At first, it was a little shocking because I just didn't understand the vibe and kind of the pulse of Richmond when I first moved here. But I've been really amazed over the 7 years that I've been here how often people say yes. As we've launched hands-on and we bring up, you know, a crazy project idea or something we want to do with one of our business partners or nonprofits, how often people are ready for innovative ideas and ready for something that's fun. So I think that we're learning how to do it. I wouldn't say, you know, it's not a city I would automatically be like, yes, this, you know, they're civically engaged. I think it's a little bit different, and but it's a little bit more hidden, but it's definitely here. And I've been pretty amazed on how supportive people have been of our work.
It's almost like it's potential. There's a lot of potential.
Yeah, we're always on the cusp of potential here. I think it's been really neat recently to actually see some of that potential happening. You know, when you see little projects kind of popping up.
What are some of the projects that pop up in your mind?
Well, one of my favorite projects we had the opportunity to work on this past year was the flood wall murals with international and national artists and local artists. And we really had a great opportunity to work with Ed Trask, who's really one of the funnest people to collaborate with, because he's always like, yes, let's do it. And we were going to do a mural on that wall with an insurance and a law firm. We were working with Troutman and Sanders and Rutherford Insurance, who are in the building right connected to the flood wall. And as we were talking, we reached out to Ed Trask and Don Blyles. They were like, well, wow, that's actually a wall that we really want to do this festival on. Maybe we can collaborate. And we really were able to kind of merge these two different kind of concepts. You know, you're talking street art and, you know, this whole flood wall mural and a corporate engagement project for, you know, some corporate partners that we had that worked there on a daily basis and really wanted to see that part of town be rejuvenated. And within weeks, you know, there was these murals that went up and artists were there and lawyers and mothers and grandmothers, and everyone was so excited about the project. And it was this moment when you can see that when people get the opportunity to engage and to paint on a wall or to participate in something, it creates a little bit of magic. And some of the people that we were working with on our end from the law and the insurance company were so excited. They were like, I'm bringing my grandmother down here tomorrow to see that I painted that wall. You know, they had the opportunity to work with Chris Milk, another artist in town. And they were so excited for this opportunity to be able to paint on a wall and bring some color and life to a part of town that they work in every day and that they have to walk by. So it was like they owned a little piece of it now, and they put a stake in the ground, and they said, you know, we want this area to be revived, and we're going to help make it happen.
So part of civic engagement is sort of recognizing what you want to see change and doing something about it.
Yeah, We actually, someone in our office recently gave me the simple, literally, he was like, well, it's an equation. You have your intentions, and you have you, and you have action, and then there's the change you want to see. And, you know, it was just this simple way that he had worded it that I was like, that's what we're always trying to talk about. You know, you can have the best intentions in the world of what you want to see or the potential for Richmond, but until each individual steps up and says, okay, this is what I'm going to do about it, I'm actually going to do it, the equation has
to
happen.
Can't
I mean,
happen.
The change just happens. You know,
right.
That's how math works. So it's just been really interesting for us in our office to really talk about what do we do with kind of the intentions when people want to give back? How can we help equip them with the skills and the resources and the access to find the organizations that most align with them and make that happen?
You mentioned the skills or the training that you can provide. So how can folks work with Hands-On to kind of start to develop those skills or learn how to get involved?
So the easiest thing we have is we have a calendar model. So we post projects on calendar. We work out the details. So we call the nonprofits. We set the projects up. And we assign what we call volunteer leaders to those projects. And really, what's great about the volunteer leaders is they're the host. So if you sign up to, you know, go build trails down on the river, there's a volunteer leader from our office that's going to work with, you know, Nathan or Ralph White or someone who, you know, the staff down there to help facilitate it and make it happen and greet you and make sure that all the tasks are readily aligned and really help that nonprofit manage the volunteers.
Okay.
And so it's easy access that someone can literally go on the calendar.
Where's the calendar?
It's on our website, and it's handsonrva.org. And you click on the little calendar button, and it's easy. We call it, you know, you sign up, you show up, you volunteer. People, by participating, you learn something. Mm-hmm. You know, when you show up to volunteer in a project, you know, whether you're down at the river or in a food pantry or at a local rec center, you know, the staff there can talk to you and, you know, they'll do orientations and talk about not just their organization, but what's the issue that they're addressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is it that we have after-school programming and why is it that there's rec centers that need to be there to help children, you know, in that post-school hour? What kind of things are they working on? Are they working on academic enrichment? Are they working on character building? Are they working on, you know, sports or, you know, access to college? So when you're in these different nonprofits in parts of town that you might not be familiar with, you're already cracking open the door to knowledge because
mm-hmm.
you're in a part of town you might not know, or you're working with a diverse population. You might be working with someone, you know, from another part of town or, you know, from another religion. But definitely the nonprofits are there to help, or, you know, the schools to help you understand the, you know, the complexity of the issues that they're working on and why they choose to address programs the way they do and what's the research behind it.
So provide some context around that project that you might be doing.
You know, we definitely want people to understand. There's so much more meaning when you have an understanding of what the issues are. You know, I always use Homeward and homelessness as, you know, a great example. You know, there are 20 different organizations in town that are addressing issues of homelessness and housing, and they're all doing it differently. Because we haven't figured it out yet, you know. There are successes, and there are ways that we can address it and work on the, maybe not the solutions. We're trying to work on the solutions. Maybe we're addressing some of the remedies. But I think when you start to volunteer, you start to participate with these different organizations, you can see, you know, why we need medical or respite care for, you know, a homeless population. Why do we need, you know, direct patient care or, you know, direct counseling care? Why do we need job transition or, you know, housing counseling? Why do we need, you know, the different services that the different spectrum of nonprofits might offer? So I think that's what I really love about the opportunity to volunteer is that you get to see the different methods of different organizations and how they might do something.
What's the role that Homeward plays that you were talking about? So there are all these different organizations addressing the same basic community issue in different ways.
They play in... explain it much better than I will. They play a hub. They help these organizations communicate with each other. I think they're a great model of how can different organizations who might have different methods still communicate with and collaborate with other nonprofit organizations so that they're looking at the whole picture or the whole client, but still specialize in what they're really good at. I think that's really interesting, and I think that they've done a really good job of getting people to understand the issues a little bit more.
Yeah, Kelly Kinghorn was on the show and Inspire and Deed. And if you are just tuning in, my name is Elaine Summerfield, and you're listening to Inspire and Deed on 97.3 FM. And I'm speaking with Vanessa Diamond, the director of Hands-On Greater Richmond, a program of the Partnership for Nonprofit Excellence. And we're talking about what it means to be civically engaged and an active citizen in your community. And we were just talking about Homeward, and Kelly Kinghorn was on the show. She was one of my first guests, one of my first guests. And, you know, I learned from her one of the roles that they can play is, you know, you talked about kind of understanding the context, and they do so much work in gathering the data and understanding what the issue truly is. So getting that full picture of the issue, I think, is what makes a difference and can help.
And I think the more that individuals can know what those snapshots of knowledge are, they can start to figure out what's calling them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do something about everything, you know. But, you know, most people have an innate kind of calling to one type of work or another. You might be, you know, really drawn to the river and want to address water quality issues or river access. Or, you know, there's a lot of talk about bikes right now, so you might be really interested in transportation. So what is it about, you know, Richmond and the things that frustrate you about potential transportation issues here, you know, whether it's biking or pedestrian, you can play a role in.
Right.
So I think there's, you know, so many different ways. And the more that you can get a little bit of knowledge to start you off, you can start to understand what the issues are and then figure out what can you do about it? What's your individual action or participation? And then you, by that, I think you inherently will continue to learn and understand, you know, more and more the complexity of it.
So you said that hands-on, you can learn about different issues through participating with projects through hands-on, and find those on hands-onrva.org. But what else do you have to help folks get engaged beyond those calendar activities?
So, well, beyond them, we do, in the learning sense, we also train our volunteer leaders. So we are developing volunteer leader training. So our volunteer leaders get trained in, you know, how to use our technology, but they also get trained in volunteer management. Next year, we're going to be doing a series of workshops with them and trainings on understanding Richmond. What are the demographics of Richmond? What's going on with the governmental systems? What's going on, you know, with the region and transportation? And how do you understand kind of who the players are so they can understand where the nonprofits that we are serving sit within? So we're going to be developing some trainings around how to help them develop not only leadership skills, but citizen skills or citizenship around issues in our area. I'd say the other way is that we also have, what we are trying to do is have a spectrum of ways that people can engage. So there's the calendar model and the volunteer leaders taking a little bit more responsibility. We also post ongoing opportunities for our nonprofit partners. So our nonprofit and school partners might have needs for, you know, they might be looking for a graphic designer. They might be looking for someone to come in and assist them with marketing or administrative support or, you know, answering phones. So they'll have like the widest spectrum you can imagine. There's times I look on there, I'm like, wow, they're looking for someone who can sew curtains, or they're looking for someone who can do Adobe Flash. So it's really this amazing kind of spectrum of what the nonprofit community could be asking for at any time. So I think that that's a great way for individuals who have skills or want to learn something, or, you know, they're on the verge of like, all right, I know how to do this. Mm-hmm. But I want more experience, or I want to build my portfolio, or we always joke about, you know, there could be someone who is really in accounting, but loves to do stained glass work, or, you know, wants to tutor or mentor a child. And so it gives people the opportunity to explore their other talents or interests in a way that they can continue to fulfill themselves and learn by it. And participate. And then the on the kind of the farthest end of engagement, we partner within the larger Partnership for Nonprofit Excellence on a board link program. So we actually have a 101 class, which is a 3-hour workshop that is helping people understand, what does it mean to serve on a nonprofit board? What kinds of issues do you need to be addressing? What's your responsibilities? What's the nonprofit's responsibilities back to the board member, to help get people ready and prepared to be good board members? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, nonprofits have to have boards, and a lot of times people might be content experts, but it doesn't mean that they necessarily understand the roles of being a board member. So what can we do to help support them?
So that's another type of volunteering.
Yeah, so it's another type of volunteering. Mm-hmm. So what we're really trying to do is create this continuum. So, you know, you can sign up for a one-day project and sign up, show up, volunteer. We can help train someone and get them connected into more leadership opportunities, or get them placed in a more in-depth opportunity with an organization, or help prepare a person for board service. So we're really trying to help meet every individual where they are, because people will go up and down that continuum. You know, I use myself as an example. You know, I've got 2 little kids, so right now I don't have a lot of extra time to be doing, you know, long-term volunteer opportunities. So I'm much more of a pop-in, pop-out person right now. But in 5 or 10 years, I'm going to be ready again for more longer-term commitment. Right. And then we really want to honor the fact that no matter what your time is, that it's valuable both for you and for the community. And so we want to work to create interesting and unique ways that people can engage no matter what they can give. and allow people that option.
Didn't you also start a program where folks can do volunteer projects even in their own home?
Yeah, this is one of my favorites. We started something called DIY.
DIY,
do it yourself. Uh-huh. Where we are working with different nonprofits, and every month we have a featured DIY. And so this month it's actually Daily Planet, which has a respite program. It's a medical respite program for people that are homeless or in transition. And it's birthday in a box. So they said, you know, we have people who are in medical respite and they might not have close family or family nearby or any support structure. And they have birthdays to celebrate. And we want to be able to do that for them in a way that they feel connected and they feel loved and that they have people that care about them. So we have this thing on our site where you can click a button and you say, I'm interested. We send you all the information, like step-by-step instructions on how to create whatever that project is. So this month it's the birthday in the box. And so every month those rotate and they, you know, it could be anything from, you know, creating dog biscuits and Adopt Me bandanas for a local shelter, to, you know, a birthday in a box or a support gift bags for veterans in the area. So every month it kind of rotates and you can do it on your own time. And we've had some really great success with it with families or Girl Scout troops. We've had a couple families who have done it for their child's birthday parties. So instead of having a traditional birthday party where people bring gifts, the children all bring the supplies to make whatever that DIY is for the month.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And then I'm actually going to be testing it out for the first time, so I'm in the facilitator mode of doing it at my daughter's school with a group of students. So every few months I'm going to bring one into the school and allow, you know, and talk a little bit about whatever the content is or the issue is, and then do the service project with them.
Right. And it's volunteering, it's service, but it's fun, it sounds
but
like.
But it's fun, and we try to do, they tend to be crafty-ish, but we do try to make sure that they're good for all, different ages and genders and people's interests. So we try to rotate and make sure that there's a little bit for everybody.
Right. So it's not decoupage every month.
It's there are some glue sticks in there, but not every month.
So you have some other. Do you have any other success stories that come to mind? I don't know, like maybe some individual volunteers that you've seen go through that spectrum or continuum of volunteering.
We've got a lot of, I think we have a lot of amazing stories. I think some of my favorite are really watching people kind of come in and out of the continuum. We have a volunteer that kind of popped in mind who was the chair of Hands On Day, which is our large-scale event that we host in October. She was the chair of Hands On Day for 2 years. She came to us through kind of a one-day project. It was a pop-in, pop-out project, and then she kept coming back. Then we asked her to be a volunteer leader, and she was a volunteer leader. And then when she was in job transition, she was a trainer and did HR. And so as she was in her job transition, she had a few months off or in transition, and she came into our office and helped us revise our volunteer leader manuals and our trainings and our PowerPoints, and really helped bring not only the time that she had, but her talent and her expertise from her work, and helped us enhance our operations. And I think, and then she became chair of Hands On Day, and now is actually the chair of the Komen race this year. So it's been really neat to watch Jen as she's, you know, coming in and out of our organization in different places, and depending on her time and availability and where she was, being able to offer us different things that really match where she is.
That's great.
So it's been neat to see that happen with a few of our volunteers. And I love when we get emails from, you know, people who have volunteered and then been volunteer leaders, and the next thing I know, they're working at a nonprofit or they're serving on a board. So it's been neat to see some of the cycle as people have been connected through us.
And now, since you've been around for 5 or 6 years, you've started to see that cycle.
We do. It's really nice.
Well, you mentioned Hands On Day, and you have Hands On Day coming up soon,
Very soon. We're excited. We're in the throes of recruitment right now. So Hands On Day it's our fifth Hands On Day, and it's really a large-scale kind of service blitz. And the concept for us is really, how do we get 1,000 people out? This year we've got 47 projects. So, you know, how do we get 1,000 people out on 47 different projects with nonprofits throughout the community for 4 hours? So it's, you know, real simple. You got 4 hours. You know, we've got something for you to do,
and
to paint, to build, to organize.
What day is it?
It's October 20th, and it's from 9 to 1. And so it's, you know, you show up, you volunteer, you meet people from different parts of town. When we surveyed our volunteers last year, the amazing part was about 30% of the people that came out for Hands On Day indicated that they had never volunteered in our region before. And so our hope is that that is a launching pad for people, you know, that they're not just checking it off their list like I'm done, but that this is really a launching pad in a fun way to get out and meet different people, but also meet different nonprofits and kind of see what kind of work the community members and the schools and the parks are doing, and find an organization that, you know, kind of matches them.
For the long term.
Yeah, for the long term. Or, you know, if, you know, all of these nonprofits are going to be posting their, you know, short-term and long-term opportunities on our website. So hopefully that they'll be able to come back to the website and find the same organizations with different types of opportunities. Sometimes they're going to be long-term, or sometimes, you know, it'll be another Saturday, you know, come in and get something done.
And a lot of folks come out with their teams, either clubs or families. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So we actually have a capability to sign up a team, which everybody loves. So you can rally everyone in your office or your book club. We have a lot of corporate teams coming out. Our corporate sponsors this year, it's Altria and Target and UPS Freight, HDL. We've got a lot of great participation from the corporate community. And smaller businesses and other corporate teams will really just, you know, send an email out to their friends and family and say, come join me on, you know, this project. And they choose a project and they can all join. And it's amazingly automated system where, you know, you sign up, it takes a slot away, it sends you an email that, you know, has all the information in there. And then this year is really exciting. It's our fifth anniversary. So we are having a birthday party after at Hardywood Park Brewery. And so there will be food trucks and beverages and some music. We're doing a creative project kind of based on that equation of, you know, you have your wishes, you have your action, and when you put those two things together, you get change. And we're working on a creative experience with Patience Kindness Girl and Art on Wheels. And so we're really excited. It's a collaborative art project that hopefully will bring together, you know, all the participants' ideas and wishes and hopes and help lead them toward an action that they feel is going to be meaningful for them.
So to carry it on beyond October 20th.
Beyond October 20th. And we're trying to kind of make a timestamp of it with a creative process that should be a lot of fun.
That sounds fun. People go to your website. What's that again?
Yep. It's on the website. It's handsonrva.org. And click Hands On Day, and you'll find 47 different projects with something for everyone.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Vanessa Diamond, for being with me here today on Inspire Indeed. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and Vanessa's been sharing some information about Hands On Greater Richmond. And Vanessa, you want to share that website just one more time?
HandsOnRVA.org.
And you can go there to find all kinds of different ways that you can get involved in making Richmond all that you want it to be. Here on Inspire Indeed, we are learning about community issues and nonprofits and community leaders that are working to address them. I hope that you have heard something here today that inspires you to think about how you might make a difference with your deeds.